Welcome to the Preaching the Truth broadcast with Evangelist Mike Helsley.
As I walked down the sidewalk of a sin-stricken city, I saw the misfortunes of man. A man in the gutter, lying there lifeless, clutching a bottle in his hand.
We invite you to join us today as we look into God's holy word.
Man's father, but now he's a prisoner. Thank God for the preacher who told me of Jesus, for I'd be a beggar.
And here he is, Evangelist Mike Helsley, with today's message.
Strength indeed is small. weakness watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power in thine alone. Can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Greetings, everyone, in the wonderful, mighty name of Jesus. This is Evangelist Mike Helsey welcoming you to this edition of the Preaching the Truth broadcast. This is the day in which the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and we'll be glad in it. And I just thank you for taking the time out of your day to tune into the broadcast, and we just welcome you here today in Jesus' name. And if this is your first time tuning in, we welcome you. I'm Evangelist Mike Helsey, and the name of our ministry is Preaching the Truth Ministries. Our mailing address is Hillview, Kentucky, but we're out of the Louisville, Kentucky area. And it all covers that region. And the Hillview, Kentucky area, the post office box there is a little bit closer than our previous one, so I thank God for that. And we was able to get favor to move it there, so praise God. So we welcome you today, and if you're a repeat listener, we welcome you back in Jesus' name. We're going to have a great time in Jesus today. I've got a word today that is, it's not a burning bush word from heaven, but it's a word that I really feel the Lord places my spirit to share with you this week that we need to get back to with as close as we are to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you ain't born again, you're not going to make it. And you cannot get to heaven no other way except through accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, believing what He did at Calvary's cross for you, that He paid the debt of sin that you and I can never pay, and trusting in His finished work, and then confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is your Lord and Savior, and He died on the cross for you, praise God, publicly, not just doing it behind the scenes. You need to make a public confession, because many people today, they say one thing, do another, and it's called a hypocrite. And if you're ashamed of Jesus before men and women, praise God, the Bible says that Jesus will be ashamed of you before His Heavenly Father. And I don't think anybody wants that. But that is the reality of it. Not many people today have a relationship with the Lord. They have a verbal relationship, but they don't have a heart relationship with Him. That's a big difference. I'm going to hit on that here just in a little bit. So praise God, we welcome you today in Jesus' name here on VOTL Radio and Word of the Lord Radio. And we appreciate that. Our dear friend, our brother Billy Douglas, praise God. He's the founder of this radio station, and we just love and appreciate him. Thank God for him. And a great friend of ours over the years, praise God, went through a lot. We just ask you to continue to pray for him and his family. Praise God. His precious wife, Sister Reese, went home to be with the Lord over a year ago. And great woman of God, great ministry they both overseen, and Brother Bill is still doing it, and I know he's hearing me today, and love and appreciate you, Brother Billy, and praying for you every day, my man. But praise God, we're going to continue, keep on keeping on in the name of Jesus. So if you have your Bibles today, I want you to go with me to the New Testament book of Matthew chapter 6. And like I said, this is a word that needs to be heard, and it needs to be applied to your everyday life. Not just on your religious functions of Sundays, Sunday morning, maybe Sunday night, maybe Wednesday night, depending on the times your weekly services are, or your time that you have with the Lord in your personal time. I'm going to say this right off. There's a lot of churches out there today that's not in line with the Word of God, not preaching the Word of God, not preaching the blood, not preaching the cross, not preaching Jesus Christ is the only way to get to heaven. I would flee them. Pastors that know what they should be doing, but doing it not, blood of many people is going to be upon your hands. Let me declare that. Let me just say it right now. A lot of watchmen out here today have left their posts. A lot of watchmen today out there have compromised with the world, have sold out. They are allowing things of a secular view into the body of Christ. These false doctrines have crept in, masked up and by the devil. And we've got to be alert. We've got to wake up. As I preached here just a few weeks back about the sleeping church, many has fallen asleep at their post. And sad enough to say, when you fall asleep and you're in that deep state of sleep, praise God, the enemy can come in, a robber can come in, people can come in and just have their way. And Satan is notorious for sneaking in and adding things to the mixture and adding things to the doctrines and stuff that's coming out. I tell you, we've got to get back, and we've got to come back alive and wake up in Jesus. Amen? And it all starts with our relationship with the Father. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, in Jesus' name, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." And saints of God, I want to use from a subject, praise God, pulling a portion of my title out of this main text of Scripture here, Matthew 6 and 6. The portion there, pray to the Father. Pray to the Father. Father, we do come before you now in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, and we thank you today for this word out of Matthew 6 and 6. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to declare and decree your word over your people, to preach this word with Holy Ghost boldness today. Lord God, I plead the blood of Jesus over this broadcast. I plead the blood of Jesus over the listeners' ears, over their homes, dear God. I rebuke distractions. I rebuke anything that would hinder the man, the woman, the child that would be listening to this, dear God. I rebuke any distractions, anything. Lord God, whether it be children yelling and fighting, whether it be the doorbell ringing, whether it be the phone buzzing off, whether it be text messages, whether it be social media alerts, I rebuke any hindrances and distractions to your word today. Father, hide me behind the cross today. I ask you, Lord, may I decrease, Father, in the name of Jesus, as you increase in every word, every thought, every deed and action. And I ask you to forgive me in any way if I failed you. Lord, help me to preach your word today. Guide my lips, anoint my lips, Lord, by the Holy Ghost. And may the anointing that you give me on these frail lips, dear God, as they go forth today to speak your word. Dear God, may it break and destroy the yokes of bondage on many people out there under the sound of my voice today. Anoint their ears to receive. In Jesus' precious name, and everybody said amen and amen. I titled this message, Pray to the Father. I was reading that passage of Scripture this past week, and that just jumped off the page at me. Praise God. And I just couldn't pass that up, and I just wrote that down to call my message that, Pray to the Father. The failure of many believers today, saints of God, to spend what I said dealing with relationship. The failure of many Christians, so-called Christians today, to spend time alone with God every day. Now, this is a statement, you need to write this down. Contributes to the weakness of the church of today, the modern day church. Your time that you spend with Jesus in his presence before you go and assemble yourselves together. As I started out the program, there's not a lot of churches out there today. And I'm going to be very blunt. I'm going to say 90% of the churches out there today in the United States of America alone are not preaching the full true gospel, are not teaching the full true gospel. They don't sit down and open the Word of God anymore. They bring in other preachers' books, and they preach from that and minister from that. They bring in thoughts and opinions. They bring in having guest speakers come in who are not anointed of God, but they've been on secular boards of directors for certain television shows like Oprah. And they think just because they prayed a prayer and got saved that they're this great theologian to come in and minister the gospel, when you're condoning Oprah, who does not believe in God. And I'm talking about the foolishness like that. And we've got preachers today. There are still a few who are anointed of God, who has been saved, sanctified, blood washed, filled with the Holy Ghost, who's anointed and called of God to preach his gospel. God deposits the word in their spirit, but they don't declare and decree the word. They are watchmen who has either fallen asleep or they've compromised, amen to God, their way of living, loose living, amen to God, if you will, with the ways of the world. They don't tell the people, amen to God. You know, for some reason, preaching against sin, as I covered last week on the broadcast about sin, sin is what will send you to hell. Sin is what Jesus died on the cross to pay for. Do you understand that? Now, we're all sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all have sinned. I have sinned. You have sinned. Let me make that clear. I don't care how many times we've prayed. That's why Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father, as our great high priest, as our advocate, as our mediator between us and God, because he knew that, praise God, when he ascended to that positioning after the order of the great high priest Melchizedek out of the book of Hebrews, he promised to send the Comforter back, which would point to him. There is no competition. The Holy Ghost is not against Jesus, and Jesus is not against the Father, and vice versa. The devil has confusion in his camp, not the Lord. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. It's three into one. Amen to God. It's not three separate gods that we serve. Amen to God. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Even Jesus himself said, I and the Father are one. Many times, John chapter 1, it goes into, and then in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen to God. And the Word became flesh. Amen to God. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Amen to God. Glory to God. Jesus is the Word. So there's no confusion, amen to God, in the kingdom of heaven. There's confusion in the kingdom of darkness. But people today, let me go and just say this right now. My statement is just made: the failure of many so-called Christians and believers today to spend time alone with God contributes to the weakness of the church today. The church is weak today. It's anemic. It's a Laodicean church that's lost. It's lukewarm, and Jesus is going to vomit it out of his mouth. Jesus said either we're hot or we're cold. And I keep going back to Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22, because that is the state of the modern day church of 2024. Whether you agree with it or not, read your Bible. That's the problem today. Nobody reads their Bible. Nobody has time in the presence with the Lord no more. Nobody makes time to sit and be still and know that He is God, according to Psalm 46 and 10. Nobody does that anymore. And that's why we see such a The church of today is just so weak and so compromised, anemic, amen to God, backslidden, going to hell is what it is. And a lot of the watchmen today have blood flowing off their hands because they won't stand up and declare the truth of the gospel and take a stand against unrighteousness and ungodliness and against sin. I know it's hard to do. I know it's hard to take a stand against that. But if you don't, amen to God, if you keep allowing sin to go on in your camp, you will give an account before Almighty God. Read the book of Ezekiel about the watchmen with the blood going through their hands. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. It's even telling you right there. The writer of Hebrews wrote by the Spirit of God, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. In other words, they're doing that. But exhorting one another as so much the more as ye see the day approaching. But saints of God, how can believers come together to meet the God of heaven who created the heavens and the earth, the God who sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, to die on the cross? How can believers come together to meet that God when many of them never meet him privately? They don't have a relationship with the Lord. Pray to the Father. We don't pray to the Father unless something's going wrong. You know, you hear so-called spirit-filled Christians today, they will walk around, so I have time with Jesus. I pray, amen to God. You read a 5-minute devotional, thank you, been in his presence. Or you pray some half-witted prayer over your food. Father, bless the food. Oh, it's good, it's yummy. Bless my tummy in Jesus' name. And you act like you've reached the throne of heaven. No, you have not. You're just lazy, amen to God, is what it is. You don't want to spend time, oh, but you want the perks of heaven. You want to be blessed and highly favored, amen to God. But you don't give him no time. You are a two-timing bride, amen to God, cheating on the bridegroom with the whore, amen to God, acting like a whore of the world. Amen to God. I know that's very blunt and very bold, but it's the truth, amen to God. You call yourself in love with the bridegroom, but yet you don't spend time with him, but you want to treat him, amen to God, like he's just, oh, you're a bother, you're an inconvenience, kind of like that feminist spirit going around today. I'm going to hit on it right now, praise God. You got women out there today, praise God, operating under a Jezebel witchcraft spirit. They go around, they use their body to get their way. If they don't get their way, they tell their husbands, I'm not giving in, I'm not giving in to you and doing this and doing that. And if you don't give me my way, it's that way. You're bound by a spirit of witchcraft and rebellion is what it is. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel, I believe it's chapter 15, verses 22 and 23, that for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as idolatry and idolatry and iniquity. Stubbornness and rebellion. And that's what these spirits do, amen to God. You say, oh, Brother Mike, you're really hitting it hard. No, that's what's going on today. It's a spirit driving these people, amen to God. It's an ungodly spirit. It's demonic. And pastors today just compromise and give in and allow this spirit into the house of God. Women preachers out here going around here today telling their husbands what they will and won't do. And that they don't understand they're going against the Word of God. When their husbands are saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and supposed to be the spiritual head of the homes, and women's like, well, you're the head, but I'm the neck. That's not biblical. Let me just say that. I heard a preacher say recently, well, I'm the head of the home, but the woman is the neck. It turns the head. No, it is not. That is nowhere found in the Word of God. Read your Bibles. That's where the ignorance of the Word of God comes, because nobody reads and studies the Bible anymore. Nobody gets in the Word anymore. There's no Bible studies like it used to be. And when people do assemble themselves together, they turn their prayer meetings into gossip sessions and they murder people with their mouths. One of the Ten Commandments, amen to God, that Christ fulfilled at the cross, amen to God, was thou shalt not kill. And you know, you can go out here and shoot somebody with a gun, that's murder. But you can also go around here in your religious ceremonial way and you'll say like this, well, I want to pray for so-and-so. They out here sleeping around, amen to God. You gossiping. You ain't praying for them. You gossiping, you devil from hell. Glory to God. If that's all you come to assemble yourselves to do is to gossip and to pump up the ego of the flesh and of the devil, amen to God, you might as well just not even go. You're doing more harm than good. That shows you where a lot of people's relationship is with the Lord. How can believers come together to meet our Abba Father that many of them never have time to meet Him privately? They don't make the time for Him. The corporate services by Christians will be more powerful if each of them spends more time alone with God before coming together. During the time alone with Him, they should be studying, and they will study the Word and meditate on the Word of God and worship Him and listen to Him for what He wants to tell them. But God wants to speak to us, but people don't read their Bibles. God wants to speak to us, but people don't sit, be still, and know He's God, as I said a while ago, Psalm 46:10. He wants us to be still and wait on Him. You say, Brother Mike, why do I need to wait on God? Because when you wait on God, He sustains you. And He wants to speak to you. Why do you want to rush a relationship? That's the problem today. Is I'm going back to that feminist spirit. Women today want to rush and get their way. Just like people in the church today, they want to rush and get their way with God. They want a Burger King God where they just drive up, order a number six, and they're done. Half the time when you go to restaurants, you get cold fries, you get meat that ain't been cooked, and usually the order's wrong. And usually in my cases, when I go order, amen to God, 9 times out of 10, my order gets wrong. I order a plain hamburger, amen to God. I don't like all that junk on it, amen to God. And 9 times out of 10, I don't even eat the meat, bread sometimes. I just don't eat a lot of that. And I'll get an order of fries and a drink, amen to God. 9 times in, the fries are cold, and I have to send it back in. And I have to say, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over it, so amen to God, they don't spit in the food and put anything over food. Amen to God. Hallelujah, we want a convenient way. I still like home-cooked meals. I can't get nobody to shout with me, amen to God. Home-cooked meals are still the best, amen to God. Getting to sit around with your family and eat your dinners are the best, amen to God, where you can talk to each other and put the phones down, amen to God, put your iPads down, amen to God, and talk to each other, verbalize. That's what the Father wants, amen to God. He wants a relationship with us. He wants to hear from us. He wants us to come and wait on Him, amen to God, and be still in His presence so He can pour into us. Many of you would get your wounds healed up today if you would just be still in the presence of God and quit going through with your I Dream a Genie wish list. You have got to, amen to God, start respecting the time with Him. He is your Father, glory to God. And He loves you and I. Oh, service will be better, amen to God. The ones who are truly preaching the gospel, amen to God, if people would spend time in His presence before they go and get prepared. Church services, amen to God, they ought to have times before the services start of prayer. I know of a few church services around here, amen to God, that they have a certain group of people, 30 minutes before the service, they go through and just start saturating the sanctuary and start praying over the services, the musicians and the preacher, amen to God, and the move of God over the assembly there and over the people watching online and everything. There's nothing wrong with that. And one thing I do think, amen to God, is when you're having those time of prayers, people shouldn't be inside the sanctuary talking and shooting the breeze, amen to God. You ought to step out in the lobby, amen to God, not be out there disrupting when people are trying to pray and seek the face of God for the move of God on the service, amen to God. I don't think nothing wrong with stepping out and giving a little respect to the Lord, amen to God, when people, amen to God, is praying for a move of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus. Corporate services are very important, but let me say this. Spending time alone with God is not a substitute for the personal time of each believer with the Lord, amen to God. You have to spend time in His presence, amen to God. Going corporately and getting off by yourself is not the same as having your individual time with the Lord. Your prayer calls it. Go back to our text. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, secret. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Come on now. It's time we get back in fellowship and a relationship with Him. Amen to God. You need to write this down. Praise God. The believer's intimacy with God depends more on the time he spends alone with God. Or she spends alone with Him. Write that down. I'll say it again. The believer's intimacy with God, our Father, depends more on the time he or she spends alone with God. Children of the Most High God, Christians today should be spending time alone with God besides just coming to worship Him in the corporate service. That's not what it's about. It's a relationship that goes on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days or 366 days a year if it's a leap year. Amen to God. You should do that every day and not be religious in your relationship with the Lord. Too many religious folks today is not going to step into eternity. They're going to be turned away and go to hell because, amen to God, they have been serving the God of self. This Laodicea church, amen to God, has many preachers today who are bound by the God of self. They put on a form of godliness, but they deny that power thereof that He wants to give to them. They're religious, amen to God. They're no different than the Sadducees and the Pharisees, amen to God, walking around, throwing around all the legalistic rules that we have to follow. And let me just say this right now. The law was not bad. God created the law. Christ fulfilled the law at the cross, amen to God. Christians need to be spending more time with God alone. Amen to God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto the edifying. Go over to God. And this scripture is referred to, amen to God, the believer's corporate meeting when you come together in an assembly. But how will a believer have a hymn? Or a word of instruction, or a word of knowledge, or hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, if he does not spend time with the Lord? How can you be used of God when you go to one of those rare churches that preaches the gospel, the truth of the gospel, but you've not spent no time with God? They will give messages in tongues, and amen to God, the Bible says one will do that, one will interpret. You may be the one that God will want to use to interpret, but you've got to spend time in His presence to hear His voice and be sensitive to His Spirit. Come on now. If you don't spend time alone with God, if you don't pray to the Father, you won't be able to contribute much to a church service, to a camp meeting, to a revival meeting, or to you just your individual walk with the Lord when you go to Walmart, when you go to the dollar store, when you go to work, when you go out to eat. That you can be used by the Lord in all ways. You know, this harvest is great. I hear so many people out there say, oh, we're praying for souls to be saved. The Lord showed me this years back. I was praying wrong. I said, oh, God, send the souls in. We pray for souls to be saved. And the Lord spoke to me. Excuse me. He said, you're praying wrong. The harvest is already there. It's the laborers. Pray therefore to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers. And he rebuked me on that because I was praying wrong. And when I studied the word and heard his voice matched his word. It was of God. And I've changed how I pray. Lord, send harvest out there who are hungry and willing to pick up the plow and keep moving on and quit looking back. Stop. You got to stop picking it up, going a minute, and then keep looking back to the world. Amen to God. You're not fit for the kingdom of God, Jesus said. But people don't spend time alone with God no more. It's sad but true. A believer who does not worship God in his prayer closet will not be able to worship Him acceptably when he gathers with the assembly. When he comes together, according to Hebrews 10:25, where it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another as so much the more you see the days approaching. That's why relationship is so important, saints of God. If you don't spend your time in His presence, you can't receive the instruction and know the will of God for your life. His word is His will, but if you don't read the Bible, you won't know His will. Amen? The spiritual health of a child of God cannot be assessed on his activities that he does in church, but on his time alone with God. You need to write that down. You need to highlight that. The spiritual health of a child of God cannot be assessed on his activities in the church, but on his time alone with God. And that's so true. A Christian is as strong as his prayer closet. In other words, he is as strong as the time he spends alone with God. God will reward anyone for the time he spends alone with him. Let me go back to my main passage of scripture here. Matthew 6:6. But thou, when thou prayest, when you pray, enter into thy closet. For some people, it's an actual closet. For some people, it's a room they closed off. It's a war room, if you will. Enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. The child of God must give priority to spending time alone with God. There is no alternative to this, saints of God. Every child of God must cultivate the discipline of spending time alone with God. Amen? People always love to spend time with those they love. Or you should be, amen to God. But, you know, in the day in which we live in, if you don't love the person you're with, how are you going to want to spend time with him? Amen. It goes back to the husbands and wives. If you're not madly in love with your husband or your wife, amen to God, you're not going to want to spend time with them. And communication is a vital part, amen to God, of any relationship. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good, amen. You have to have time with your spouse, just like you have to have time with the bridegroom. Come on now. Glory to God forevermore. It is so true, but that's the day in which we live in. You've got to spend time with the ones you love, and should be the top one on your list that you love. This is how to develop intimacy with the Lord. No child of God must be too busy with his daily work or his businesses or his responsibilities in the house of God or in this life that he does not spend quality time with God, preferably early in the morning if you can. Before he goes out, in the night, or any other time during the day, depending on their schedule. God is not greedy. He's not making you say, spend 23 hours a day with me, and then you get one. I think, amen to God, it wouldn't hurt us to spend at least an hour or two a day with the Lord some way. Now, I know we all, because of how busy life is and how much, you know, time we have to do things and stuff like this, I know life is chaotic. I know it's busy. I'm married, praise God. I got 3 children, amen to God. I'm in evangelistic ministry. I'm associate pastor, amen to God. I know life gets busy. I know things get hard. But you have to make time with him. Many of you that follow our ministry know, praise God, that I do from 1 to 3:30 every night. That is, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it is very hard to get this old flesh crucified to where you want to do that. But you got the benefits are well worth it if you just keep on with it. It's kind of like when you tell your spouse you're going to meet them and go pick them up at 7 o'clock to go on a date, praise God. And if you don't get there till 9:30, 10 o'clock, what are they going to do after about an hour? They're going to be like, well, they're not coming. You got to be consistent with your times with the Lord. You ought to have them the same day or every night. Many of you can't do late at night because of the long day. So you ought to try to get up early in the morning. And if you don't have kids and you're not married, you're blessed of God to where you've got that privilege to get to spend time in his presence. Excuse me. No excuse. That's how you develop intimacy with the Lord. Praise God. And if you go back to look at Jesus' earthly ministry, Jesus was busy ministering in different places all over in the 3 years he was on this earth. In 3 years of ministry, he was on this earth. He was in this world 33 years. But he didn't neglect spending time alone with the Father. He maintained intimacy with God in prayer. He prayed alone at different times. He prayed all night. Luke 6:12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Jesus not only prayed all night, but he also prayed early in the morning, amen to God. Mark 1:35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary or a secret place, secluded place, and there prayed. In addition, he prayed after ministering to people. The Bible says in Mark 6:45-46, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto the Bethsaida. While he sent away the people, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. Do you hear this? Do you see me showing you from the Word? Time alone with God, pray to the Father is important. Jesus did it. We have to do it. Amen. Come on now. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. This is good. Amen to God. If you'll get a hold of it. Jesus, our Lord, is the believer's perfect example. He was busy, but yet spent time alone with God. No excuses. No Christian has an excuse not to spend personal time in fellowship with our Creator. We make excuses, or we allow the devil to give us excuses. How many times have you ever made an excuse? I know I have. Many times. The disciples of Jesus were attracted to his discipline of spending time alone with the Father. And one day, one of them asked him to teach them how to pray. Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 1, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples, talking about John the Baptist. And in response, Jesus taught them what is famously known as the Lord's Prayer, which the Lord's Prayer is the prayer that we pray for every single area of our life. Jesus gave us the model example there in Luke 11. So don't be a Christian, amen to God, who only goes to church services but has no regular time for fellowshipping with God alone. Don't be that child of God. You get so busy going out sharing the gospel, amen to God, being on radio, being on TV, doing a podcast, amen to God, going out and feeding the hungry and the homeless, and that's all commendable and great. But if you're not praying and reading the Bible, spending time in His presence, it's all for nothing. You're just being religious at that point. Amen? Is that all right? Can I preach like this? Go over to God. And that's where we've got to be at today in our walk with the Lord. Amen? So, saints of God, how can we sit there and claim that we love God, but yet we don't spend time alone with Him? How can you say that? How can I say that? How can pastors say it today? How can anybody say it? That they don't spend no time alone with God, but we love Him. I mean, I'm even going to go a little bit step further. How can you sit there and claim to love God, and you don't like your brothers and sisters that you serve alongside with? You don't like your brothers and sisters in the faith. You talk about them. You run them down. You can't stand to see them, but you say, well, I love God. No, you don't. The love of the Father's not in your heart. You're a hypocrite. Need to repent. Need to make things right. Amen. You have to have a regular time of being alone with God. It's a necessity. It's just like eating food, just like breathing air, just like breathing air, just like drinking water. You have to have a regular time of being alone with God when you study your Bible, when you meditate on what you've studied, when you write down what God is telling you, because you got to be still and listen. When you pray and worship Him, let this be your habit. You know, we get into the habit of sin. Why don't we get into the habit of fellowship and relationship with the Father? Amen. Think about that. Spending time alone with God became Jesus' custom so much that before he was arrested to be crucified, he took four of his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. We've just come off now this past week. And he told them to pray so they would not fall into temptation, but he went some distance from them to pray because his soul was sorrowful even unto death. You can read that in Mark chapter 14, verses 32 through 42 for time's sake. Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 46. And as a Christian today, let nothing be more important to you than the time you spend alone with God. You ought to write that down and put it on your mirror. Put it on the cover of your Bible. As a Christian, let nothing be more important to you than the time you spend alone with God. You need to value it above anything else. Don't let anything distract you from it. Learn to free yourself from any commitments or any responsibilities that would not allow you to have that time to study the Word, to pray, to be in His presence. Come on now. To let God talk to you and to worship Him. As much as possible, do it at the same time every day, as I said. So you'll be used to it. And you can't come back and say, well, you know, it doesn't hurt sometimes to tell people, hey, listen, I can't call you at this time. I won't be available this time because I'm going to be in prayer. I'm going to be studying the Word. There's nothing wrong with that. It's commendable. God will bless you. As much as possible, do it every day at that same time. And God will bless you for that. And then it won't be difficult for you to default on it. Commit yourself to doing it. Decongest your life to have time for the most important thing, and that's spending time alone with our Father. And don't be guilty of spending time with everybody else except the most important person, and that's the Lord. use your time wisely, saints of God, because time is winding down. I preached a message about a year ago on time. What are you going to do with the time you have? Use it wisely. Don't be like Martha, who was distracted with much serving, but be like Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and did the one needful thing and listened to his word, according to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. If you read that passage of scripture there. The benefits of spending time alone with God are invaluable, including drawing closer to God and knowing Him more intimately. Daily spiritual refreshment in His presence. Come on now. And renewing, amen, God, your mind with the Word, according to Romans 12:2. Receiving divine guidance and correction by the Lord and divine wisdom. Hallelujah. But we have to go to His presence. We need to take our Bibles and we need to take a notebook, amen to God, and a pen and write down whatever He tells you, amen to God. And obey whatever instructions He gives you. Do it, amen to God, verbatim. Line upon line, precept upon precept. If He tells you to get up and walk in 20 circles, amen to God, and shout the name Jesus 20 times, do it. He'll never tell you nothing contrary to His Word. That's what I want to get you to receive today. Anything God speaks to you, He will not contradict His Word. And the first duty of being a true disciple, a committed disciple of Christ, is to be with Him, not to work for Him. There's a difference on being committed to His service and not just doing the work. Many are doing the religious work of today and they think they're in His presence. And one day when they stand before Him, He's going to say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." I don't want to be in that place to where I've served the God of self and not the God, amen, the God who laid His life down at the cross. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 6, amen to God, verse 7 through 13. This is familiar right here. And it said, "He called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse. But be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, In what place soever ye enter into a house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you, when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city." And they went out and preached that men should repent. Come on now, that's not going on today. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. As we read right here in this passage, the disciples being with Jesus came before being sent out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and cast out demon spirits. They spent time in His presence. Is what you're supposed to do, is what I'm supposed to do. Come on now. But that's where we're missing it at. We don't take that time to spend in His presence, to have a relationship, to have a fellowship with Him. Our relationship and communication has been restored back to what Adam lost in the garden, where he had communion with Him all the time, fellowship with the Lord all the time, but he lost it because of sin. Now Jesus paid the debt of sin, and we've got full access into His throne room. He says for us, the writers of Hebrews says for us to come boldly into His presence. Glory to God. We have to spend time alone with God and don't let anything or anyone distract us or hinder us. Praise God. I feel right now just kind of, I want to go into, just give an invite real quick. Maybe you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've not spent time in His presence. Maybe you once were there, but you got distracted and you fell in a backslidden state. But to be one step away from Jesus is one step closer to the world, the flesh, and the devil. We are required to lay it on His breast, in His lap. Because Satan wants you off Him, out of His hands, out of His embrace. Because if he gets you there, he can attack you. Many of you have been attacked before because you left the embrace of the Father. So if you're not a born-again child of God today, you need to give your life to Jesus. Time's winding down. He's coming back soon. And I urge you, praise God, I'm going to walk you through this, praise God. You got to believe with your heart that Jesus died for you and confess with your mouth. As of late, the Lord's just really been having me do this, to give an altar call. Amen to God. Not that I don't already do it, but sometimes I get to preaching, and amen to God, I'm just going through. But I really want to take time with this because pray to the Father is something that if you're not born again, you don't know how to do that. And prayer is not hard, praise God. All it is talking to the Father. He loves you. Come on now. So what you need to do first, one, you need to admit you're a sinner and you cannot save yourself and repent of your sins. Number two, you need to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Number three, you need to renounce your past way of life, your relationship with Satan and his works. And number four, you need to invite Jesus into your life. So I want to pray with you right now. Not that there's no mystical power in this prayer I'm going to pray, but it's just leading you in an example prayer. And I want you to believe in your heart that Jesus died for you and then confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. After you pray this prayer, I want you to tell somebody. And if there's nobody around you, call us, text us, write us. Our contact information is at the end of the broadcast. We will get you a brand new Bible and information to get you started on your walk with Jesus if that's what you want. But if you don't accept Jesus, you will not go to heaven. You will go to hell. Because of the sin that put him on the cross, that same sin will put you into hell. It's not God's will that any man should perish, amen to God, but that they live, amen to God. It's God's will that you go to heaven and not hell. It's Satan's will that you go to hell and not heaven. It's Satan's will that you perish and not be blessed. So if you want to know the Lord Jesus, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I come unto you today. I know that I am a sinner. And I cannot save myself. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God who died at Calvary's cross to save me. And I believe, God, you raised him on that third day. I repent of my sins and confess your Son, Jesus, as my Lord and personal Savior. I surrender my life to Jesus right now and invite him into my heart. And Lord, by praying this, I know that I'm saved according to your blessed word. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and making me a child of God. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Father God, I pray for those who pray this prayer, God, that you would strengthen them on their journey. Help them, Lord God, to, as they repented of their sin, help them to be faithful in spending time alone with you. Holy Ghost, I ask you to help the believers out there to have fellowship with the Father each and every day and to make the time, Lord, remove distractions from individuals so they can make that time of intimate fellowship with the Lord. And allow them, Lord, not to be hindered or distracted. It's in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Well, this is Evangelist Mike Helsley saying I love you. I thank you for tuning into our broadcast today. Praise God. Like I said, if you prayed that prayer, write to us, call us, email us, text us. We want to rejoice with you on your decision that you made for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to send you literature, amen to God, and a new Bible and some CDs. And also, we ask you to prayerfully consider if Preaching the Truth Ministries is a blessing to you, to prayerfully consider sowing and supporting our ministry each month. And help us to continue to take the gospel to the lost and dying world. And praise God, we appreciate all your prayers. We covet your prayers. We appreciate your financial support. We covet that for to do this work, amen to God. We know that God is faithful. We know it's true, praise God, and we just simply ask and believe and we're going to receive to advance His kingdom in Jesus' name. Well, this is Evangelist Mike Helsley saying, remember to keep looking up. Jesus may come tonight, and also each and every day make it a point to have time to go in secret to pray to the Father. It will be well worth your day. It will make your day better. It will help you, praise God. It will give you guidance and direction by the Holy Ghost. Until the next Preaching the Truth broadcast, I love you and appreciate you. God bless you in Jesus' precious name.
Thank you for listening to Preaching the Truth with Evangelist Mike Helsley. We invite you to share with us any prayer requests or praise reports or comments that you might have. You can write us by writing Evangelist Mike Helsley, P.O. Box 633, Hillview, Kentucky 40129. That's P.O. Box 633, Hillview, Kentucky, 40129. Or you can call us by calling area code 502-930-5503. You can also visit us on the internet at www.preachingthetruth.net. That's preachingthetruth.net. It is our prayer that today's broadcast has been a blessing to you. This broadcast and ministry is listener-supported. When getting in touch with us, please prayerfully consider sending a love gift to help us to continue to take the message of Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross around the globe. Thank you for listening to the Preaching the Truth broadcast with Evangelist Mike Helsley. I will never